Just about 22 minutes after the hour, it is a Transcendent Tuesday, and that means Don Clark has dropped in and going to share some time with us, and that's always something we look forward to. In fact, Don, we've been looking forward to this for, 8 years now? Something like that.
And 8 or 9.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure when we started, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, the station's been on the air for 9 years, and July, August, September, and 3 months now. And you joined us early on, as an integral part of Creation Moments, and we've talked about the biblical story of creation ever since, and we've covered a multitude of related and some not so related subjects. This morning's topic is genealogy, and I'm not sure how this relates to science, because I know with all those genealogical services out there, the online stuff, you send in a DNA sample. And then they somehow match that with the rest of the world. I don't know how they do that. But to locate and isolate and identify your ancestors. Now, I don't know how legitimate that is from a scientific viewpoint, but it comes up with some really interesting statistics. And we're going to be talking about a Scientific American article this morning about genealogy. And this is this science or is this statistics that we're about to delve into here?
It's science, but it's computer modeling and statistical modeling, basically, is what it is. So you've got some data, and then you kind of track back in history using a mathematical model in statistical theories and stuff, and then you come up with an answer. And the answer usually has some error bars associated with it. And then you say, voila, there it is. This is probably what this situation is.
Well, certainly biology is part of it, because we all know that we have two parents, and then that would make four grandparents, and that would make two. That would make, see, my math is, it's four grandparents, two of each of those, that would be eight great-grandparents. And as part of this article, they just kind of speculate. If you go back 1,000 years and you take that back mathematically, it means that by the 33rd generation back, you are related to, tied to, genealogically connected to more than 8 billion people, which is more people than live in the world now. And then there's a point where the genealogy starts to reduce in number that suggests that we're all closely related, that the human race is inbred. Does that make sense to you?
Well, I mean, it not only makes sense, I mean, it's from a biblical point of view, that is the case. We're all related. It's not, so you go back from a biblical point, you go back to, of course, Noah and his family. And, before the flood, you go back, obviously, to Adam and Eve, or, the original couple. And everyone is a descendant from them. It's not that we are descendants from apes or from monkeys. We are descendants from Adam and Eve. So we all should be related. And whatever study that you do, regardless of whether it's a DNA analysis or a statistical analysis of ancestors, if you will, as this article kind of points out, you're going to come to the point and the conclusion that we're all related. And that is the point of this particular article. Now, there's a couple of interesting things that they have that they come up with that says, gee, it looks like, maybe the earliest that everybody in the world is related is like 1400 BC. And if we look at the statistical model and we come up with a kind of an iso point, where did the genetic iso point as to where everybody started, genealogically, you actually, and you take into account their error bars, if you will, they state in the article that it appears that this number, this genetic iso point, is somewhere between 530 and 520, 5,300 and 2,200 BC, according to the Rhodes calculation, the folks that actually did this calculation.
Now that puts it in the biblical bailiwick, doesn't it?
Well, let's look at that number. It very much puts it in the in biblical time frame, because how long ago do you think the flood was?
Well, I'm thinking 4,000 years.
Okay, so it's a little over 4,400, 4,500 years ago, which puts the flood, if you use the Jewish calendar in the Jewish year, this is This is the 5,781 year in the Jewish calendar. So you subtract
to then that dates from creation. That's the number of years from since creation on the Jewish calendar, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And so if you then subtract our year in AD, which is 2020, and then you subtract from that how long it was from the flood from the very beginning of creation, which is something like 1657 or something, 56, something like that, you come up with a number that is 2100 B.C., so that would be the time of the flood, which falls in this this range very neatly. And of course, you know, you add 1600 years to that, then you're looking at somewhere around 3800 BC is the time of creation. Which is right in this range. So what they have found is that, everybody kind of started around the time of creation. And all of our ancestors are quite related at the time of the flood, which is an interesting point. At least I thought that was an interesting point of the article. Now they go on to say that man lived is at least 120,000 years ago. Where humans began to disperse throughout the world from Africa. Well, that's not quite true, because they dispersed from the Tower of Babel, which was not in Africa, but in the Plain of Shinar, and we talked about where that might be in the past. So they have the timing wrong as far as the point of history, but that's just the reason why they have the timing wrong.
Well, haven't they applied like a standard number for a generation? I mean, I don't know how long a generation is. I've always been told it's like 30 years, but the farther back in time you go, I think the shorter that number, that the smaller that number should be. A generation wasn't always 30 years between, you know, parents and children. It might have been 15 at one point. So that collapses the whole evolutionary time scale, does it not?
Well, it does until you get to the biblical time frame before the flood, in which case the generation is much, much longer.
No, that's true.
Because we, you know, documents exactly how long it was or how old it was before Noah, for example, or had his children, or at least the first children. And that's how you can go back and you can calculate how old the earth is, because of these genealogies that are in the Old Testament. So it's quite amazing that God has given us such an accurate record that we can do such calculations and have some sense that, okay, well, you know, it looks like the earth was, you know, formed about 6,000 years ago, and we were put here about that time. And so it hasn't been that long that civilization has been on the earth. And so if you go from the biblical record, what they are finding, of course, is that the isopoint is right in the time frame of the biblical record. But because they have an evolutionary slant, they're saying that, they're using the old evolutionary concept that, you know, man was on Earth, hundreds of thousands of years ago. That's kind of hard to place in a biblical time frame because, you know, we're saying that the Earth isn't that old, of course, and there's all kinds of evidence, which we won't get into in this particular program, that the Earth is a young Earth as opposed to a billions and billions or millions of years old, and civilization, and as it were, actually started here, at least the second civilization after the flood, started at the Tower of Babel when man was actually dispersed by the confusion of the languages at the Tower of Babel, and God forced man to basically populate the earth, which was his command from the very beginning. He told Adam and Eve, as you recall, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now, filling the earth doesn't mean you stay in one place. At least your ancestors don't stay in one place. So God designed the earth to be populated. And of course, now we have people all over the earth. Mainly because of the effect of the Tower of Babel, that they were reaching up into heaven to become like God, and God said, this is not good, we're going to have to do something about this. So he came down and actually confused their languages, and then they couldn't continue constructing the tower anymore because they couldn't understand each other. And as we've talked in other programs, they were dispersed according to their language group. And so they had clans or families that went in various directions.
That would make a great movie, wouldn't it?
I think it would.
No, you know, it's never been done.
we have some of the great movies, like the Ten Commandments, for example, and Exodus. How about the original dispersion from the Tower of Babel in that whole situation? What man was doing, in particular what Nimrod was doing, turning man's hearts away from God and towards him, because he thought himself to be God, because he was such a great hunter and had some abilities that other people didn't have.
It'd be fascinating to see those done in their context with the actual biblical historical point of view to it, rather than just trying to stay true to verses in the Bible or characters and dramatized characters, but actually paint the situation as it was. One of the sub-themes in this article, by the way, this article from Scientific American, we have a link to it in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com. You can click on it if you'd like to kind of consider this along with us. But the word genealogy apparently means something other than the broad view. Here's a quote from the article from a genealogist named Rutherford. He says, "The family tree of humanity is much more interconnected than we tend to think. We're culturally bound and psychologically conditioned to not think about ancestry in very broad terms. Genealogists can only focus on one branch of a family tree at a time, making it easy to forget how many forebears each of us has." And one of the interesting factoids they bring up is that many of our ancestors occupy multiple slots on our family trees. For example, your great-great-great-great-great-grandmother might have also been your great-great-great-great-aunt. So you could take a person and they could appear on multiple, if you go back far enough, multiple points on your family tree. That's fascinating to me. It's also kind of crosses my eyes.
When I was doing a barbershop, when I was in a barbershop quartet and doing barbershop chorus, there was a song that we used to sing. It says, "I'm my own grandpa." It goes through a genealogy, and then you finally get down to the end of the end of the story, and it says, I'm my own grandpa, end of the song, and it was quite fun. But that kind of reminds me of that sometimes we might be our own grandfathers, which kind of spins your head a little bit. But the point being, and this is another point of the article, is that we're all related to one another. So what does that do with the concept of races, of human, you know, the various human races? You know, we make a big deal today, at least political group is making a big deal about this particular subject, that we have different races and different races are treated differently. And so, you know, you're racist because you treat these other people differently. Point in fact of the article is that, gee, there's a genetic isotope, isopoint, in which everybody came from are related to each other. So if we're related to each other, then what happens to the race? There are no races. We're all brothers and sisters, and we're all related to each other. So race disappears. So,
and that's regardless of geographical origins. It's regardless of skin color. And we did talk about an article, this was a couple of months ago, or maybe a little longer than that, that went into the scientific DNA research and stated flat out that the difference in DNA between a black and a white is actually about the same as between a Swede and a Frenchman. In other words, there really is no racial difference in terms of the scientific DNA analysis. It's such a small percentage difference that it's ludicrous to think of it as a different race. It's apropos entirely to think of it as one human, well, the human kind.
The human, yeah, the humankind, the human race. I mean, it's we don't have the human races. You know, as a biologist would do, I mean, if you've got one animal, for example, or insect, and this insect over here has a different coloration and maybe a little bit of different shape, they will give that a different species. It's like, okay, you're a different race, but you're the same, you know. It's, and they do that with humans, because, okay, you've got people that have dark skin, you got people that have medium colored skin, and people that have white skin, and some people have very white skin. We're all from the same genetic makeup. As every study like this that you find is going to come to this conclusion. They may spend, I don't know how much money they spent doing these things, but you know, they may spend millions of dollars to come up with this conclusion that we could have told them is already in the book of Genesis and already comes to that conclusion. That's why God put it there, is so that we would know the origin of us, so that we would know how important we are to Him. And we did not evolve from an ape, as even this article kind of alludes to. It says, oh, you know, everybody started from West, you know, from Africa and migrated from Africa. That's, you know, that's the ape story. We didn't migrate from Africa. We migrated from the plain of Shinar, where people were dispersed in the Middle East. As opposed to that, but the most important thing is when God said, let us make man in our own image, and then He made them male and female. So we are created by all, the whole Godhead created us, as opposed to just Jesus speaking the various species in the various animals into existence prior to that time. We are created in God's image, and so we have a body, soul, and spirit, so that God can communicate with us individually and corporately through our spirit, as He has done throughout man's history. But the most important thing is that we are special in God's creation, because He wants a special relationship with us, as opposed to, you know, the animals that are put there really for our pleasure and for our management, as opposed to the animals being special necessarily in God's eyes.
Still, articles like this encourage me because it indicates that there are at least certain segments of the scientific community who are having their evolutionary presumptions upended by new data, or at least new ways of looking at old data. And if it, whether it's DNA research or a statistical analysis of like this, where there's this genealogical isopoint someplace where all of a sudden we're all related. Now, they still try to force it into the evolutionary time frame, which disturbs me. But sooner or later, that's got to crumble.
You would think. But, you know, old stories die hard. And so it's going to take a lot more than, you know, studies like this, unfortunately. But they're at least starting to get to you know, time frames, at least for me, from the genetic isopoint point of view, to the biblical time frame, which mm-hmm. is, you know, quite interesting. I mean, they had necessarily no preconceived notions other than however they designed their models, and hopefully it was based on actual genetic, you know, fact or, you know, generational type of information that you could observe today, for example, and then program that back, that algorithm back into the computer. And voila, when you do that, you come up with the biblical time frame as opposed to the evolutionary time frame.
We're talking with Dr. Don Clark. He's a vintner, resident of Garden Valley, Texas, and a member of the board of Creation Moments. I want to mention their website to you, creationmoments.com. is a whole library, a resource for scientific information that supports the biblical story of creation. And it's a worthwhile visit for you. It's a nice-looking website. They've got a lot of writings for you, books, DVDs. And, of course, there's the Creation Moments radio program, too, heard on a lot of stations, over 900 stations across the country that are trumpeting, calling our attention to the facts, the history that's contained in the book of Genesis. And so, Don, we appreciate what you bring to us. And thank you very much for spending some time today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And hope to see you folks next week.
Yeah, be on Tuesday. We'll look forward to that. So have a good week.
All right.
And we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.